Thanks, Paul, and thank you for inviting me to read. It's a great pleasure. And can I just say congratulations to the winners? I thought your poems were absolutely gorgeous. So I stumbled across the competition just by accident, really, for the first time last spring, just at the beginning of lockdown. And I found it a great challenge and something that kept me really busy and occupied during that difficult time. But I actually did set myself another challenge. I entered over several weeks, and that was to create some handmade collage art to accompany the poems that I wrote. So if you don't mind, I'll show you the collages that I made in the same week that, with the two poems that I was thrilled to have shortlisted. The first poem I'll read for you is called Girl Missing, and this is the collage. I don't know if you can see that okay. This is the collage I made to go with it. This is a very dark poem, inspired by the media coverage of some quite famous cases of child abduction. The five words were dandelion, rough, rain, antidote, and skill. Girl missing. They found nothing in the allotment shed, bar a whiff of stale fags and paraffin, a stash of rain-soaked, smutty mags. They scoured the rough patch of land beyond the flats with sniffer dogs, dredged the pond, tied pink guilty ribbons to lamp posts, lit altar candles, and prayed. They said to vanish without trace was out of character. With flim-flam skill, they shammed a pledge on TV, cried soft, cousining tears, an antidote to shame. In the clover field, behind the school, swallowtails and red peacocks flutter. Their secrets float away on the breeze like dandelion clocks. And the second poem I was lucky enough to have shortlisted was called In His Jacket Pocket. And here is the collage I made to go along with this poem. The five words here were level, lace, fire, text, and matter. In his jacket pocket, a packet of Marlboro Reds, Kleenex extra large, three treble mints extra strong, betting slips, a deck of cards, Swiss Army knife complete with corkscrew and spear point blade, a number scrawled on a post-it note. Photograph of a busty blonde with handspan waist cinched in denim and lace. Mobile phone, a wedding ring. Confused regret at that foolish text, that sordid matter. Eurostar tickets to Paris unused. Maxed out credit card. A key. A small space for his boyhood dreams. Route 66, Cadillac. The next Ali, fire in his belly, a lighter, a hole through which his level head and dignity have slipped. Thank you very much.
Superb. Thank you so much, Jane. Those are absolutely excellent poems. Thank you so much indeed for letting someone else in. And we'll move on, if you're ready, to Owen Condon. Congratulations, Owen, on your shortlisted poem.
Much, and thanks to Grace as well. The poem is called Crossing. My five words were precipice, loud, red, night, and oxygen. Crossing, cast off their precipice into the water. Away from themselves, not worthy. Those who did not do it right, stuck on embankments of muck. Look, I suppose it was hard to see at night. I remember often in the early hours after my shift, stopped at the red light before crossing, looking at flowers fastened tightly to railings with a clip. Loud memories preventing sleep. Thank you.
Couldn't hear you.
I know. Thank you. Thank you, Owen. We had some difficulty with the sound there. You were kind of coming and going for some crazy reason. So we only got small snippets of the poem.
Better?
It could be. Could you want to read a line for me?
Second. Bridge crossing and river rescue. Can you hear that fine?
Yeah, we can hear that fine. Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to give it a go again?
I'll give it a go again, yeah.
All right.
Crossing is the name of the poem. There, I remember. Bridge crossing and river rescue. Waves cast off their precipice into the water. Remember, friends pushing life preservers askew, away from themselves, not worthy, wasting oxygen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Owen. I'm going to have to cut you off there. Sorry, mate. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You can fix whatever is going on with your audio and we can come back to you in a while, a bit later. And if we don't get it right by the end of this section, somebody else can read it for you, perhaps. So I don't know if there's anything you can do, maybe, you know, in terms of microphones or headsets or any alternative possibilities, or maybe log in on your phone via the Zoom app, do it that way. And we'll let you in that way. But sorry, you just completely, you know, we lost you completely. So, you know, we didn't want to hurt the poem anymore than it was. So we'll definitely come back to you, okay? All right. Sorry, Owen. Okay, so we'll move on for now. And if you are ready, Tamara, we'd love to hear from you. Congratulations once again.
Thank you. It's great to see you, Paul. And I just want to say that I opened the PDF. It's the first time I've seen the document, and Grace, your comments made me my throat get tight and tears in the eyes and all. I really appreciate it. It's nice to be understood. So the first poem is Both Ends, and the words are tunnel, sky, virtual, heartbeat, and black. It is as if you are in a tunnel, grandmother, and I must crawl through rat and ruin to find you in the black. We are about to be born. Then it will be necessary to introduce myself. Lady, I am daughter to the cradle boy who cried for you while he waited for new parents. You never really knew either of us, but now I visit your last apartment in the virtual world. Boren Street, Seattle, on Pill Hill. How did you go so far from home? How did you die? Lady, I will speak to you like the ghost of Hamlet's father. You hold the sky with all its answers. I am closer now. I hear your heartbeat, quick and anxious as my father's in his crib. Thank you. This is called Else, and the words are flare, zoom, fox, cloud, and edge. Else. 25 years ago today, my baby of 21 weeks in the womb rose to the edge of Else on a cloud. A flare of grief in the holding, how she looked like my other daughter, only mute and still as a nurse's face. No one knows what to say as we zoom into our shared losses, marked by that little creature of the gods, who slipped honest from my arms like a fox to her own wild woods. Thank you, everybody, for letting me participate again. And great to see you, Marianne, and Derek also.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you.
Congratulations. That was great. Okay, so the last in our shortlist section tonight, we have David W. Evans with us. Hi, David. Welcome and congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's an honor and a real pleasure to be included and with you again. I was tempted to give a lecture on art history, but I'm not going to do that. But I will point out that light fastness, in case you don't know it, is a measure of pigmentation and how long it lasts, its durability. The poem is about Turner, and originally it was about principally the idea of patronage and whether the artist outlives in this case, the Earl of Egremont. So with that little preamble aside, I shall crack on. The five words were curl, east, heron, bloom, oblique. Light fastness. Mr. Turner sees the lights, remembers where, what day it was, dusk or dawn, it matters not. A curl you call is caught beneath this sketched out memory of heat. He fetches up king's custard on his brush. The sun blooms, clouds catch fire. Mr. Turner steps away. He's seeking snuff. The oarsman's splash, the business of insects, the banks flowerless. It's all here, like it never was. An extra guinea would have got the Earl a majestic bird, a heron here, close to the willow, or maybe one in flight, shifted by a wickering horse. Flash of grey, stripe of white, black plume oblique as a tar's pigtail. Mr. Turner tilts the world to suit his eye, flipping east for south, heads or tails. Turning round the sky, he bids the sun rest and rise wheresoever he may please. The Earl can shift the earth, release the sea to flood a trough of land, rubbing salt in the scar of his new canal. The aristocrat has his bank, Mr. Turner has his brush. Comes down to this, always did, them's who make and them's what buy. Mr. Turner is Mr. Booth in reclusive moods. And in reclusive moods, he rows mid-Thames until them what wants him's gone. And when he's good and gone, what then? There'll always be an Earl of Egremont. They number him now to tell him apart. This current one's number three. And number three, the world will always know. The future's common tongue will recall George Wyndham, patron of the modern art. And Mr. Turner, like Lake Red, a green, and a geranium shade, he was great in his day when freshly applied. And oh, the sunlight, the storm and rain, luminous fog and the power of sea. All's made to fade. Even great Claude will flake and fail. And while he'd wager heaven's not destined to harbour them both, they're bound to meet betimes, strolling the columns of a dead earl's catalogue. Mr. Turner feels a chill, thoughts of death and failing Claude. He throws a log upon the grate, pinches snuff, and watches with a painter's eye the 18th century give way to steam, then smelder into burn. Thank you.